1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 through 27. Let us hear the words of the Lord. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way that you get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. Our Lord, we come before you again giving thanks for the power of your word that fills us with your blessings, with your mercy, that lifts up your word of great salvation. And so, Heavenly Father, we take to heart today that which you have spoken, that which you have taught. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. Some people probably do this more than others, but do you ever sit around and just contemplate the culture in general? And probably a lot of people maybe don't want to engage in that mental gymnastic with the way a lot of things have gone on in the recent past. But nevertheless, you know, I do. And I've thought that if we were visited by space aliens, there are some who say that we have and are being visited by space aliens, but if we were to be visited by space aliens trying to research civilizations of the universe, they would find an interesting religion practiced among us Earth people. The anthropologists collecting data on ancient civilizations would call this religion sports. Can't you just imagine a spacecraft full of space alien behavior scientists setting down and going to work during the playoffs and championship games for football or baseball or basketball or hockey or soccer? There may be a lot of different denominations, but they still fall under the religion of sports. Yep, today's Super Bowl Sunday. And even though you may not be a football fan or a fan of any sport, you have probably still heard about the Super Bowl to some extent, other than me standing here and saying something about it this morning. But actually, quite a bit of the buildup doesn't even have to do with the game anymore. It has become more of a festival. There's entertainment. There are parties. There are the Super Bowl ads. A quick announcement, I learned a few days ago that there is going to be an ad for Jesus in tonight's Super Bowl, sponsored by a group of donors who have formed a campaign called He Gets Us. sort of stumbled onto that by accident, so to speak, by providence. But that whole campaign, it looks like I say, a group of people able to do so have sponsored a lot of ads already in a lot of different places to try to put the name of Jesus Christ out there in a better light than it's put out there in some ways. So an ad campaign called He Gets Us, a couple of Super Bowl ads in the first half and the second half tonight, for what it's worth. But anyway, it's amazing how much activity and hoopla and revenue can come from one event featuring no more than, you know, 22 men on the playing field at a time. Now, I'm not going to stand up here and try to convince you this morning that I don't like sports. I have my favorites. I like the competition and the strategizing that goes into it. But one thing I have learned early on about sports, no matter how much you might like a sport, not everyone can play the game. At least not at the highest levels of competition. By my seventh grade year in school, I had grown quite fond of basketball. I watched it on TV. I spent a lot of time on the weekends at some outside hoops that were at a junior high not far from a home. I didn't think I was too bad. So in seventh grade, I tried out for the school team. As expected, tryouts consisted of demonstrating those various elements of the game, and dribbling is one of those basic basketball elements. When it was my turn, I grabbed the ball as it was tossed to me and proceeded my way down the court. Now, what I had not mastered to a great extent was being able to dribble and look ahead at the same time. It was more like this. So I was quite surprised when all of a sudden I ran smack dab into something and landed flat on my back. And looking up, I happened to see what the impediment was. Trust me, when you run into the coach, you don't make the team. I guess that's the penalty for growing up in the Lone Star State instead of the Hoosier State. Well, by ninth grade, I discovered that I had better abilities to take pictures for the yearbook of those playing sports than I did of playing the sports themselves. And for those of you who are not particular big fans of any sport and think that you can escape that world by sticking to the Bible, think again. Even in the world of Scripture, we are reminded that we are not the only culture to popularize and elevate sports. In more than one of his letters, 1 Corinthians being one, of course, Paul uses an illustration from the world of sports to make his point. Face it, there's just no escaping contact with sports. So here in 1 Corinthians, Paul compares the pursuit of spiritual growth and spiritual maturity with a runner in a race. He suggests that Christians, like athletes, are in training and they have a goal. But he also observes that unlike athletic contests where only a few can compete, all believers are involved in the Christian life. There are no sidelines. We are all in training. We are all pursuing the goal. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. We've heard it said many times, when an athlete makes something look easy, we can be assured that he or she has dedicated enormous amounts of effort and time, personal sacrifice, to the mastery of that task that looks so easy. The dedicated athlete's commitment is enormous. We may be in awe of an athlete's performance on the field, but we should be even more awed by the athlete's strict training. And this lesson was not lost on Paul. He easily made the transition and application from the physical and the secular and the temporal realm into the spiritual realm of the Christian faith. Paul was well aware of the struggles that Christians face. He was well aware of the struggles that the Christians that he knew in the churches that he had planted faced, or even in those in churches that he had not planted but was in communication with. As noted last week, he was writing here to a church filled with strife, conflicts, and sinful behavior, the church in Corinth. Paul knew how much the Christian and the church needed to engage in discipline. It took tremendous training on Paul's part in order to arrive at some profound revelations throughout the letters that he wrote that comprise most of the New Testament. Staying in 1 Corinthians in chapter 10, verses 31 through chapter 11, verse 1, he wrote this: "So whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." You know, think how far Paul had to come to get to that point. We know very well, as you know, when he was went by Saul, when he was called Saul before that name changed, that he was persecuting the church. He was rounding up those who were followers of the way to take them back for whatever trial was held for them in the temple area, the Sanhedrin and such. So Paul arrived at this point only through the strict training of prayer and of study and obedience to the Word of God. He worked tirelessly to be not like Mike, if you remember those ads, but like Christ. That is a much worthier goal. Why do athletes go to all the trouble of this strict training? They do it to get a crown that will not last. Of course, we know what the competitions can bring those involved, whether it's individuals or teams. They receive prizes, they receive awards, they receive trophies, championships, pride, bigger paychecks. After tonight's game, there will be one Super Bowl champion team out of all of the football teams that begin the season. The whole goal of the season is to reach the point to be able to compete in tonight's contest. And then the goal is simple: win the Super Bowl. To get to this point and not be able to win is going to be greatly disappointing for one of those teams tonight. In spite of all of the glory and even fame attached to events like this, name the Super Bowl champion team from 3 years ago. There may be a smart aleck out there that can do it. I don't remember who they were, and I didn't look them up. World Series championships 2 years ago. Stanley Cup champs last year. For the most part, we don't remember. See, there are fans, I recognize that. There are those with better memories than I have. But nevertheless, for the most part, we quickly forget. You know, we get all worked up over a championship, and athletes pursue it as their primary goal. And the glory doesn't last. It fades quickly. Paul wrote about goals. Our goals as followers of Jesus Christ, we do it to get a crown that will last forever. The results of what we do as Christians should be measured in terms of eternal significance. Concerning these verses, Christian scholar William Barclay comments, "We need to know our goal. A distressing thing is the obvious aimlessness of the lives of so many people. They are drifting anywhere instead of going somewhere." Someone once drew a cartoon showing two men on Mars looking down at the people in this world, scurrying here, there, and everywhere. One said to the other, "Where are they going?" The other replied, "They're going." "But," said the first, "where are they going?" "Oh," said the other, "they're not going anywhere, they are just going." And to go just anywhere is the certain way to arrive nowhere. We need to know the worth of our goal. The great appeal of Jesus was rarely based on penalty and punishment. It was based on the declaration, "Look what you are missing if you do not take my way." The goal is life, and surely it is worth anything to win that. Remember the first recorded words of Jesus to some of his disciples, "Follow me and I will make you fishers of men." A completely different goal than they had ever thought about for their lives. So even though Paul used the world of sports to illustrate the need for and the purpose of strict training and the goals for Christian, growth, spiritual growth, maturity, he had to make one important distinction between the two. In most sports, we have to try out. Not everyone makes the team, especially if you run into the coach when you're dribbling the ball down the court. In the scheme of things, relatively few make it onto the field or the court or the ice rink. In the scheme of God's plan, however, all born-again Christians are to get in the game. Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Paul addressed a wide audience. You know, if you think that looking around our sanctuary this morning and you see a lot of different people with a lot of different vocations or skills or even ideas, you know, think about what it was like in Paul's century. In a nation that was run by religious leaders, and yet over them, the authority, they had to submit to the authority of the Roman Empire. Free people, slave people. Just think of how different people were across the board, a wide audience. But the prize of the Christian faith is not limited to a qualified few. It is available to all who believe because Christ has enabled us to come to the Father. We train, we strive toward the goal, we win because God has placed in us the victory. So get in the game. That is the imperative of the Christian faith. We tend to learn and to grow best by doing. The Christian faith affords us many opportunities to get in the game. And many are in the game. There are both teachers and students here this morning who will be going to Sunday school classes. Some make visitations to visitors and to members. Others write letters and cards of encouragement. Some through the ministries within First Baptist Church, and some serve through ministries elsewhere. Some members develop their own ministries using gifts, their talents, and their skills and their experiences. These are all wonderful, and I encourage you to stay in the game. For those who may be feeling like they're not in the game or could take on some additional responsibilities, there are always opportunities for those available. There are ministries that utilize socialization and outreach skills. There are ministries that utilize quiet behind-the-scenes skills. We have needs right here at First Baptist, and there are certainly multiple ministry needs out beyond the walls of this building. It does not matter as much where you serve the Lord or how you serve the Lord, as long as you are getting in the game. Whether you're reaching out to youth in the community or maintaining the church library or praying in your home, you are in the game. And that's what Paul was getting at. Run the race. Get in the game. Serve Christ. Referring once more to chapter 10, so whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. That's the power and the truth of the gospel. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. So this morning the question is, are you in the game? Have you gotten into the game? The first step is to repent of your sin and to confess Jesus Christ as Savior. If not, won't you accept His invitation and believe today? I guarantee you, even if you run into me, you'll still make the team. In fact, it'd be great if you ran into me. You were so excited, huh? I'm going to give my life for Christ. And for all who have asked Jesus into our hearts and who walk with him, are you staying in the game? God wants us to do everything for his glory. Living the Christian faith is not a spectator sport. So get in the game.